You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
It's a good show.
In a world where every conversation is about what movie or TV show you've just seen, one comedian doing his own voiceover for his own podcast due to monetary restrictions got tired of pretending he's seen The Wire in conversations at parties. This is Never Seen It. Comedians rewriting famous movies and TV shows they've never seen. I'm Kyle Ayers.
Hey, everybody, this is Kyle Ayers. I'm your host of Never Seen It, the podcast where I have comedians and other funny folks rewrite famous movies and TV shows they have never seen. Thank you guys very much for listening in. Before we get into it, I do want to remind you that we have a Patreon page. So if you like the show, you want to support the show, you want more of the show, check us out at patreon.com/neverseenit. For just $5 a month, you can get a bunch of bonus episodes. I also put up footage from live shows. I put up a bunch of different stuff up there. You can go to patreon.com/neverseenit and help us out there and get a bunch more of the show. Moving on. Today, we have the return of Todd Sklar. You may remember Todd from Dunkirking us all a few months ago.
I'm not going to promise that we're not getting Dunkirked here later today. Also, it can happen at any time.
It truly became... It's the only thing I've ever made that became a GIF.
I think that's a good thing, right?
You just gave it to me. Yeah, people were doing it. And we're also joined by Alex Stone.
Hey, everybody.
Thank you guys for being here. Yeah, Todd, people love... I still haven't seen Dunkirk.
Not either have I. Well, I mean, I wrote it, but I haven't seen the real one.
People really got into getting Dunkirked and Dunkirking and turning it into like all parts of speech.
I mean, I recently had a movie fall apart. If Chris Nolan wants to give me a call, I'm available. We can make it the real deal. We can do it.
I think it's you're not the first or second or third. We keep having people on the show talking about spectacular like things sort of falling apart.
It's a thing.
We had like Dave Ross was here. I don't even know if it made it in the episode. Dave was talking about how he used to make prank videos when True Detective Season 2 came out, where he was playing Vince Vaughn in it, but he'd just be like screaming uncontrollably. And he would make Instagram videos where he's like, hey, I'm Vince Vaughn, it's Season 2. And then he got an email from some nickpizzolatto@gmail.com that was like, hey, I saw your Instagram videos. You know, it's tough making a show. You put a lot of effort into Season 1. And blah, blah. And Dave just thought it was someone pranking him. And so he goes, suck my dick. And then Nick Pizzolatto was like, hey, you know, if you want a job writing for True Detective Season 3, and Dave just never thought it was real.
What?
And then just found out it actually was the guy who made True Detective.
What?
I don't know why we got into that's an abridged version of the story. If you go back and listen to, I think it was Caleb Sinan's episode of Top Gun, Dave tells his whole story about trying to, thinking he's getting pranked by a comedian friend.
Wow.
But it's actually the creator of an HBO show.
That's pretty good.
Today you rewrote Avengers Infinity War.
I did.
Which is just out. Before we get into your Avengers script, I want to tease because we got a rousing round of guess what movie Kyle's dad is describing, having only seen the movie trailer and never having heard of the movie. And so we're going to tease this and we'll get back to it at the end. So here's our dad for today.
Okay. Wow. This one just threw the title up right there at the beginning.
All right, that's all we get for now.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's watching Dunkirk.
Dunkirk does seem like a movie that would have the title up right at the beginning.
Boom, right there.
It would just, you'd hear... and then silence. Dunkirk. It's not Dunkirk, though. We want to get in. So you rewrote Avengers Infinity Wars, as your title puts it.
Which is kind of two movies, isn't it? Aren't they, or are they one movie split into two?
I don't know how you'd...
Infinity War?
It's two movies, one story split into two movies.
But it's one Infinity War. Or are there multiple Infinity Wars?
It's a war that goes on for infinity.
Yeah.
I believe.
Shit. I didn't even think about that. Hold on. I need a few minutes to rewrite this script.
All right, we'll be right back.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's infinite... I don't know. Yes, the time is the thing.
Yeah. I think there's rock, maybe there's stones involved.
It's based there's definitely Infinity Stones.
Which is good for you, Alex.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, get your family's namesake involved.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they call it Infinity War because it's based on how much money it made.
Well, this one's going to make more than that.
Which is, well, we'll see. and it made so much money. It's crazy. I've seen all of them.
I've seen the Shane Black Iron Man movie.
Which is one.
Which was awesome. No, it's got to be three.
I think, yeah.
I definitely felt like many times in the movie there were things and characters that I would know what was going on had I seen the other ones.
Yeah.
But also I didn't mind because it's a Shane Black movie.
If you just pick up right in Iron Man 3, it could be called Iron Men. Because there's like 1,000 Iron Man suits flying around at the end and everything.
Oh, yeah. Is that not in the other ones? It's just him? Yeah. Oh, I bet. Yeah, of course the first one's going to be like an origin story. But in 2, it's just him or is there 2 Iron Men in Iron Man 2?
I think Don Cheadle's involved in 2, I think.
Yeah, because Terrence Howard is in the first one.
Oh, that's right.
And then they rewrite his character. Yes. Or they just make it Don Cheadle and that never comes up.
I read about that on DeadlineHollywood.com blog. So, you know what? I know more about the behind the scenes of the Iron Man movies than the movies themselves. That's where we're at in 2018.
Yeah. And that was a big thing. And then Don Cheadle became, I don't remember his name, Iron
Man?
Yeah.
Silver Iron Man?
Silver Iron Man. Iron Man with shoulder guns.
That sounds pretty cool.
There's something about when Don Cheadle. Okay, we'll talk about it after. Let's we'll get into the Avengers Infinity Wars.
That's a misspell.
Nope, that's the name. And as always, recently we have Yu Song who'll be playing the piano here with us, scoring us along.
Oh, nice!
And you guys can grab instruments to help score. I think we might get some ominous tones would help.
I was actually going to do more of like a Christopher Nolan Dunkirk thing and have it just be all natural sound. Like the natural sound from the Infinity Galaxy and all of the real Iron Men and what all that stuff sounds like.
So they just pick up, you know, whatever normal real world audio would be on different planets fighting. Okay. The Avengers, Infinity Wars. Well, do you want to tell everyone who we're going to be playing?
Yes. Oh, I didn't keep track of that.
I got mine written down.
Oh, boy.
Mine are circled. I know that I'm Aquaman, Thor, Popeye, Plant Guy. I believe that's it.
Okay.
Nice. I'm playing Batman and Ant-Man.
And I am Captain America, Hulk, Spider-Man, and Doctor Strange.
Okay.
Excellent. And I'll also be reading the stage directions.
Imagine if this is how they did the first table read. Everyone had to be like, all right, tell them who you're going to be.
I'd be willing to bet this is how they did the first table read.
They probably had little plates that said like...
Some tapas?
Their names.
Nameplates.
Chris Evans is Captain America.
They probably had nameplates and some small plates.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys... Are we doing tapas?
Yeah.
Is this a tapas thing? Okay.
Swedish meatballs. all right. The Avengers, Infinity Wars. We open on a spaceship in a deep, faraway galaxy. Inside, the Avengers, a super team of super special superheroes, are all seated at a large round table reading their latest dossiers from Dr. Fury. By the looks of things, there's some bad shit about to go down on planet Earth, which is a place that none of these people are from because they're all mutants or robots or aliens or Kryptons or Ultrons or Wakandas or whatever. Just as their leader, Captain America, head of the Avengers, is about to address the group, Batman bursts into the room.
Where the hell have you been, Batman? And where's your suicide squad you were supposed to assemble before this movie so we could go all fight together?
Sorry, I was halfway through the process when the cultural landscape completely changed, so I had to try and find more Wonder Women and Black Panthers and Black Widows, and we don't even have any Asian superheroes, or if we do, they're played by Matt Damon, so it was a huge mess.
Sounds like it, but I agree. It would be nice to see more of those superheroes you mentioned, and less of Superman and Spider-Man and Iron Man and Aquaman and Plant Man, but also maybe actually Aquaman stays because I think he's Samoan?
I'm actually from Game of Thrones.
Ooh, I love that show. Me too. That and Breaking Bad are, like, just the best, right?
Oh, yeah, and don't even get me started on The Walking Dead. I haven't loved anything like that since, well, probably not since college when I was super into Crash and the Boondock Saints and Garden State. And I had Scarface posters on my dorm room wall and wore trucker hats and listened to OAR and Nickelback and Dashboard.
Hey,
and-
guys, let's focus here. Batman, welcome to the Avengers. We're a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Oh, that movie really should have been better. Who have been tasked with fighting Star Wars and guarding the galaxy from all evil beings. And currently, we just got a real bummer of an update. It turns out, just a few minutes ago, the Supreme Leader of the Lokis has decided to open the Infinity Portal and use it to send his minions to obtain the intergalactic space crystals that are used to engage the Infinity Stones and create an Ultron War, which would obviously destroy all of mankind and also space and the galaxy and the universe and Game of Thrones and everything. So, like, we'd better stop that shit before it goes down.
Batman looks very confused. What? Captain America doesn't understand what Batman is not understanding here.
What? Are you not familiar with the previous...
Wait, hold up. All right. First things first. What are Infinity Stones?
Oh. Honestly, we don't really know, to be honest. It's... But trust me, they're bad.
Okay, all right. And what's this Supreme Leader guy look like?
Also not 100% sure about that. I think he sort of looks like Sammy Sosa post-steroids. With like a big blotchy fat face, except he's neon purple, like 100 feet tall. But that's also might have been the main bad guy from the last few X-Men movies. I'm not really sure. But also, I think these movies are part of those movies, so maybe it's the same guy.
Okay, sounds about right. I still don't really understand anything about what you said, but as long as I don't have to deal with any Jokers or Riddlers, I think I should be able to handle this.
Riddlers and Jokers. I'm trying to do the Hulk.
Oh, that's right, the Hulk interjects.
Riddlers and Jokers? What are you, like, a birthday party entertaining?
Batman turns to Captain America in anger. Who the fuck is this guy?
That's Hulk. He's incredible. Oh, God. He's incredible, trust me.
Really? Because he looks sort of just like a regular guy.
That's the thing, Batman. We're all just like regular guys. That's what makes us so relatable.
I am not a regular guy. I'm Thor.
Spider-Man.
Oh, Spider-Man.
Pipes up.
Yeah, me either.
Aquaman raises his hand.
I'm not even a guy. I'm a fish. I think.
Over in the corner of the room, Doctor Strange turns and drinks his tea.
Nobody knows what the fuck I am.
Popeye the Sailor Man then speaks up.
Also, I'm not the Hulk. My name is Popeye, and I'm a sailor.
An incredible sailor?
Not really, actually. Mostly, I eat spinach and try to fight this dude whose girlfriend I stole.
Batman turns to Aquaman and leans in, pointing to Popeye. I don't think I like this guy. Captain America bangs his Infinity Shield on the table to grab everyone's attention.
Everyone stop! We're getting sidetracked here. We need to make a plan for preventing the evil space Lokis from getting the mystery orbs. Now, who has an idea?
Wait. I thought it was Infinity Stones they were after.
Well, yes, but if we get the mystery orbs first, then the Infinity Stones are rendered useless, and that way Ultron won't even be able to open up the Power Rift and team up with Hydra in the Dark World, which means they wouldn't be able to create the Winter Soldiers in the Sunken Place. And then it would be nearly impossible for them to do Ragnarok, and, you know, it's...
Batman, who has been staring wide-eyed with his jaw drop, interrupts. Jesus Christ, man, do you have any idea how complicated all this sounds? Like, I don't even know one thing about what you just said, and I've seen most of these movies.
Well, sorry. I know you're more used to fighting Jokers and vampires and scarecrows and, you know, Frankensteins.
Did somebody say vampire?
Blade has just entered the room.
Listen, Batman, if saving the entire galaxy from an Infinity War is too much for you to handle, you can sit this one out.
Captain America, it just seems a little bit above my pay grade, okay? Like, I figured this was going to be more like a pyramid scheme type of organization, you know? Like, I'll take care of Gotham, you take care of America, Sailor Boy and Aquaman handle the sea, the Star Wars guys fight all the Star Wars, the Guardians can guard the galaxy, and we all sort of just, like, do our part, you know, to save everything and everyone, not all this complicated stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that would make a lot of sense, but we live in a world where that doesn't make sense anymore.
Doctor Strange clenches his knuckles.
When has the world ever made sense? And what are we if not sensible beings?
What the fuck is this guy talking about?
Thor does not like Doctor Strange.
It doesn't matter. All that matters is Batman. Are you in or are you out?
Dramatic beat. We pull close on Captain America staring at Batman. Then cut to a close-up on Batman. I wouldn't miss this party for the world.
Great! Avengers unite!
Quick question, though. Do we have any Ant-Men on this team?
Yes, in fact, we do.
Okay, great.
Why do you ask?
I don't really know. I just thought I would ask. The plant from Guardians of the Galaxy interrupts.
Hey, wait a minute. He makes a good point. Why do we even have an Ant-Man?
Because every team needs an Ant-Man.
Yeah, but, like, why?
Because he's an Avenger!
Okay, but, like, what do Ant-Man even do?
They can make themselves really tiny and small, like little ants, and then fly around and do shit that super spacemen, like that us big humans, can't do without being detected.
Hey, bud, we're not humans.
Thor took major offense to that.
Also, ants can't even fly.
Fine. Ant-Man, sorry, you're out.
Ant-Man does not even look pissed off.
Who was Ant? Was it me? It was me? Oh, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go as Ant-Man. Good. I didn't really want to do this mission anyways. Plus, I have a thing I have to be at later anyways, you know?
Thor perks up.
Oh, can I come? I don't really want to go on this Infinity mission anymore either.
Ant-Man waves him off.
Sorry, bro. It's dinner for schmucks. Invite only.
It's dinner for schmucks? Oh, sorry. Wait, Thor, why don't you want to help save the world anymore? We need you. We're Avengers.
I don't know. It just seems pointless. Every time we do one of these things, it's the same story. Someone betrays us or betrays themselves or both, and we fight, and we blow up a lot of shit and hit each other with special space weapons and super strength, but no one dies or even gets that hurt, and we have to save the universe only to find out that there's a new Ultron War the very next day. Like, what is the point anymore? All the superheroes sort of nod and realize he's...
Oh, sorry, that's me, yeah. All the superheroes are kind of nodding along and realizing that Thor is right. The table is turning. Captain America seizes the moment.
Yeah, I guess you've got a point. Fuck this, I'm going to go watch Die Hard.
The end.
Hey!
I like that they live in a world where there's Die Hard.
Oh, it's got to be Die Hard, right? That's in the cinematic universe of reality.
It's bizarre because I don't think any of them have ever talked about a movie existing in any of these.
That's really weird. You know what's funny? That is like one of those things like how like Donald Trump has never laughed. That's like a thing where like those superhero movies, you never see anything on TV that isn't a news report about something blowing up or like bad happening.
Here's my question. Is there Christmas in this universe?
Whoa.
For there to be Die Hard.
Whoa.
Have we thought about that?
That's interesting.
I think there's Christmas.
Yeah? There was a Christ?
I feel like if there was Christmas, there would be a superhero Santa guy, right?
I don't know. That seems like a leap.
I mean, well, over an Ant-Man?
It'd be Santa Claus, C-L-A-W-S.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And it would just like be like he would have claws.
All right, now we're definitely getting a call from Christopher Nolan.
What if he's just really good at finding nuance in contracts and he's the Santa Claus? And he's just like, he just pops up, he's their lawyer, and he's like, actually, they don't have to do this.
That's fantastic.
Dealing with all these buildings they've destroyed and whatnot.
Right, yeah. It's like, if you notice when you guys sign this lease, it's just no longer a rent-controlled property here. That would be a good name for Tony Stark, would be Santa Claus.
Touche.
Because he's always all about getting he seems like a smart business guy.
Is he a lawyer?
No, he's like a...
Oh, yeah, Gwyneth Paltrow's his lawyer, right?
No, she's his assistant, but I think she's also CEO of the Stark Company.
I think in the third one that I watched, she was a lawyer and a wife.
And yeah, they do get married. They're talking about... have you seen Infinity War, Alex?
Yes.
And how do you care about me spoiling any of the Infinity War movie?
You mean the one that I just wrote or the real
one? Yeah, the real one.
Yeah, I'm definitely...
I think he wants her to be pregnant and they get married or something like that.
Yeah. Iron Man does?
Yeah.
And have like, oh, because he's a human. He's not a mutant.
Yeah, he's a human.
So they can have real babies.
Because Iron Man is just a human who builds, he gets his chest hit by some shrapnel and he builds.
Oh, but then he becomes a superhero.
He's like trapped in a cave and he builds an arc.
To keep the shrapnel from.
To keep the shrapnel from like destroying
his heart.
He builds a little arc reactor in his chest.
Is that an Infinity Stone or no?
No, I don't think so. But some people thought it would be.
Different type of orb.
Yeah, it's just some Tony Stark like. High-end military
some
grade
rich guy
chest,
shit.
Some rich guy shit, yeah.
Very cool.
People always compare Elon Musk to him, but Tony Stark actually seems like you would enjoy talking to him, so I don't see where the comparison comes from. It's a very one-sided comparison.
I like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you kind of nailed that there's a lot of them.
Yeah,
it seems like there's just like 40 of them in all these movies. I don't understand it.
It is remarkable how good of a job they did.
And putting all those people in it?
Yeah.
No, I can only imagine.
Had no business being good at all, and it was actually great.
The Infinity War?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I loved it so much.
It's really good. They, like, broke them up into, like, two teams. I think that's kind of how they did it. It's where it wasn't just, like, all of them hanging out together
the
whole
time. There were, like, two simultaneous fights that needed to happen, and they did a good job of, I think, as someone who, because you're such a writer, and story and character especially, like, important things to you.
Yeah.
And I think you would appreciate how good of a job they've done.
In that movie in specific, or in all of them?
In the entire existence of the... A lot of the movies feel a little repetitive. Doctor Strange feels a little bit like the first Ant-Man. That feels a little bit like the first Iron Man. Because it's all like, here's where I came from. Here's me fighting the first person.
Yeah, it seems like all the origin story ones are the same. Then it just seems like after that, though, there's nothing interesting. We're just watching these guys do the same stuff over and over again. We know there's like former movies, so no one's going to die. And also, like, the stakes are like... So fucking insane. Like, I'm sorry. Like,
they do.
The world can't end every 5 minutes.
But
like,
they've done a surprisingly good job of is adjusting the stakes in the movies. Like, Captain America's Civil War, the stakes are so personal and so character driven that it has nothing to do with the world exploding.
But that is what the plot still revolves around, right?
No.
Really? They're not trying to get the Infinity Stones to keep the world from exploding?
Oh, in the most recent one. The motivation is very much driven by a really grounded villain who, and also with like Black Panther, what I thought was the wild success of Black Panther was that the villain, because for a while all the villains were the same. Loki wants to blow up the world. This guy wants to blow up the world.
Yeah.
And then eventually it was like these villains' motivations are incredible. And I think that's probably just straight up lifting from the comic books where it worked really well.
Well, that's just good writing in general. I think you want to have villains who think that they're their hero of their
There's
own
a lot of
movies,
people who agree
I mean?
With Thanos.
Who's
villain of the whole universe. Who's the main villain of Infinity War.
And I mean, he's the main bad guy?
You can't quite... Like, I couldn't agree with them. But it's like...
What's his hill that he wants to die on?
His entire motivation is that overpopulation is destroying the universe, and so he wants to get just by chance...
Picks like five planets, get rid of these ones?
No, half of the population of the universe.
That's fair. I feel like that's like any horrible dictator guy would think the same thing.
Yeah, and they give his motivation and his loss comes from a real place. It's kind of interesting.
Well, yeah, but why does he care about the overpopulation? He just really cares about the universe?
The planet he came from was ravaged by overpopulation, and so it kind of died off because all the resources of his planet were consumed.
Like, I get that, but also, like, boy, those are some pretty big, crazy, lofty stakes. Like,
this one's the huge stakes, because this Infinity War is, like, the biggest build of the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, what was it, like, 15 movies or something like that have built up to this storyline.
Yeah, the next one.
Look at, like, Die Hard. Like, that's a guy who just wants to, like, get to his ex-wife. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Ace Ventura is a pet detective who just wants to prove that he's not an idiot, and that's enough to carry us through a movie. You
that's
know what I mean?
What like, I think the wild success of all these movies is they've had, I really think, like, Civil War... was so different because they were kind of getting repetitive.
Yeah.
It was like, this is the end, this is the end. And then Civil War, which I'm assuming you've seen Civil
War. I haven't
seen
Civil War.
How is that different from the Infinity War?
Can I spoil a little bit of the movie?
I'm definitely not going to see any of them. Yeah,
is that all right?
That's totally fine.
So the Civil War, the entire motivation is like one man wanting to split up the superheroes because of how they've, like a regular person wanting to infiltrate and pit the superheroes against each other because of how they've, the fallout of what they've done. People, it's like the government's control over them destroying shit when they go to save places. Who gets to pick and choose? It's basically like when you watch these, you're like, well, what happens once the movie ends? You're like, who cleans up New York?
Yeah.
Who cleans up Sokovia?
Yeah.
Who cleans up? This is them. It's like them going to meetings and talking about paperwork.
That's pretty cool.
And then them picking sides on whether or not the government should regulate all these superheroes.
In the next Avengers movie, Thanos just tries to get Trump reelected. That's the whole conflict
of the
next movie.
That would definitely accomplish his goal.
That's like what's crazy about Civil War is all the superheroes who are these characters who've been built up over 20 or 30 hours of films are now picking sides.
That's interesting.
Should we be what's oversight? What's too much power? What is our interpersonal connections? Blah 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 blah.
Interesting.
And it worked really well. And then they all got to fight, which is cool.
But so is that when they brought in a Suicide Squad? Was like we can't beat the superheroes. So
Suicide
we
Squad is not even that's the other.
There's a whole different
people.
Thing. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Batman's not in any of this.
Oh wait. Okay, hold on.
He's like DC Comics.
I thought they all got together though in the Infinity War.
That is all of the Marvel people.
So none of
still
the
split, like no Batman, no Superman, no Wonder Woman.
So that's coming down the line.
No
that's like
Squad.
The next one.
They made a Justice League. That's the equivalent. Aquaman also isn't in any of these. So it's just like Armageddon and Deep Impact are two different movies.
Okay.
And everyone in Armageddon hasn't seen Deep Impact, and everyone in Deep Impact hasn't seen Armageddon.
Like, those are the cinematic universes I want to see come together. Like, I want to see the
Deep
president from fucking Armageddon meet with, like, the head of the NSA from, like, a Bourne movie and, like, watch those two guys try to figure out what's going on.
And just the end of the world cinematic universe?
Yeah.
Bourne movies are great. We're just talking about the Mission Impossible movie being great.
Oh, it's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
And I always wonder if I'm watching Mission Impossible, has he seen Black Panther? You know what I mean?
In
like
the movie?
Is all this happening? Has Ethan Hunt seen Black Panther?
Like on the plane? Like
yeah.
He's just flying over?
All these times where they have all this downtime?
Well, it's interesting because I feel like, historically speaking, wasn't like Monster Squad like the first cinematic universe type deal where they
all
came
together?
I don't
even know what Monster Squad is.
Or not Monster Squad. Monster Squad is the like the 80s movies. I'm thinking of...
Mystery Team?
No, I love Mystery Team.
Mystery Team's great.
We took that on the road.
Yeah.
No, is it Monster Squad? I forget which one where they had like all the like horror movie guys like... villains come together like Frankenstein.
The Monstars?
basically.
I know what you're talking about. And but then it like led into all these like Freddy versus Jasons and like all
there's a little bit
someone just sort of bought up a lot of horror. But that's a great universe to cross over.
No, it is. It's interesting because the crossover thing turning into like a cinematic universe thing is something that to me as a not even as a filmmaker but just as somebody who watches movies is like very interesting to me, but like the worst version of that to me is superhero movies because those are the types of movies that are rooted in the least amount of reality. So to create a singular reality for them all to live in, which still is going to be like 80% made up and not believable, is like I feel like it's
so you're like suspend so much disbelief just to enter this world,
and then like
and
then but now believe they're
I mean, I see where you're coming from. I think is there's something so bizarrely triumphant about how good of a job they've done.
That's awesome.
I think most of them are good.
Can I say this? I think that these Marvel movies have been the funniest movies that have come out in, like, the past 10 years.
Thor Ragnarok is the hardest I've laughed in a movie. If you think about everything...
Sounds like two guys who need to go watch Dumb and Dumber 2, to me.
If you think
it's
about
pretty funny.
Everything you would do to make fun of a superhero movie, they let it pay off with Thor and the Hulk, who are inherently... the funniest, cartooniest of any of these guys. Thor is a god who exists outside of Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't invent Thor.
Really?
He's a Norse god of thunder.
Interesting. He's not a superhero?
He is. He exists
well,
as a superhero.
He's not like a mutant
but,
or a
But they alien? Didn't write him down. Someone had written Thor down before Stan Lee.
They made him
I
hot,
see what you're
though.
Saying.
Yeah.
He's like really ugly in the myth.
Yeah, in the
but
myth, he's like,
he's like
a big, fat, ugly Viking.
He's hot.
And I don't think those Hemsworth guys are that hot. I feel like that Jason Momoa guy is like so much hotter than
those
guys.
Yeah, I could tell in your script you kept talking about.
Dude, Aquaman is freaking hot.
I think
maybe it is like.
I think that's a crazy thing to say. Like, if they're standing next to each other, maybe you can say that. But like,
but if Chris Hemsworth's in here,
in this
he's
room,
probably one of the hottest people in the studio.
We would all be fucking him. We'd stop the podcast.
Yeah, I feel like a Michael Fassbender is like a hotter guy than
But you're once again
Hemsworth.
You're comparing the hottest people.
Well, isn't that the idea? I mean, we're talking about superheroes, right?
That's true. But who's hotter than him in a superhero? You think like Chris Pratt?
Aquaman for sure, 100%. That guy's the hottest guy I've ever seen.
Aquaman?
Probably.
I read a big long
Brad
article
Pitt
about
and Fury.
What's his name?
Is
Jason
hot.
Momoa?
Yeah, that guy's cool.
I read an article about him on an airplane. He's in like a Southwest magazine or a United magazine.
Nice.
And it was incredible. He's just like, well, I make them shoot the movie near me so I can be with my wife at night. And then I like to cook her dinner.
Married to Lisa Bonet.
That is a win for everybody.
This dude seems great.
Yeah.
Seems like a cool guy.
Even like, I'll go see Aquaman because of him. But it looks, all their movies are so bizarre and bad.
Yeah, they're all.
They make me feel bad. All the DC movies, all the Batman movies make me feel weird.
It's amazing how they're able to keep making them bad, like how they keep outdoing themselves in terms of how bad they are.
It seems like it's a tonal issue. I saw the first 4 minutes of what's the one where Batman it starts with Superman talking to a camera, and then he's going to fight Batman. Is
Batman
that Justice League
versus Superman?
Batman versus Superman. I saw the first 5 minutes of that on a plane. And I was just like, ugh, this is just like.
And you know what's crazy? Is the beginning was the best part of that movie.
Really?
Yeah. I truly have never seen. If you haven't seen Batman versus Superman and you want this to be, let me tell you. Let's talk about writing. So there's the Marvel Cinematic Universe and there's the DC Universe.
Sure.
The entire DC Universe hinged on Batman and Superman's moms having the same first name.
Wait, what?
They're fist fighting each other.
Because they have the same mom?
They're beating. No, different moms, both named Martha. They're fighting each other. And then Batman or Superman mentions how he has to go back and save Martha. And Batman goes, I also know a Martha. And then they're like, our moms are both named Martha. And then they team up.
Wait, what? That's what happens?
That's it. They quit fighting because they randomly discover their moms have the same first
name. Wait, that's in Batman vs. Superman?
Yeah.
How long? Like, how much more of the movie do I have to watch to get
that
part?
Near the end. That's two-thirds in.
I don't think I can make it.
Yeah, it's insane. It
seems crazy, but everyone that I'm friends with also has my mom's name. It's kind of like a...
Yeah,
it didn't stick out. Yeah,
that's mom. Pretty cool. Yeah, mom's
like,
a good
if
name.
If he'd been like, mom. I gotta go save mom, and Batman's like, wait, I have mom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Your mom? Mom?
Mom?
She spells her name backwards, though. There's good. Something about... I was talking about these, like, Marvel movies. So I got this movie pass, right? And this is all collapsing. Movie pass is disappearing.
The Thanos collapse is happening, right? We need a fucking Aquaman to save us.
And I realized that the only movies I probably would have seen this year without Movie Pass were Black Panther and Avengers. I wouldn't have paid to go see anything else. But with Movie Pass, I saw Tag.
I saw Tag.
That's great.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Tag's the worst movie that has ever made me cry.
Really?
Yeah.
Why'd you cry? Wow. What got you?
Oh, wow. What a thing to think about.
Yeah.
Wow.
I feel like crying in a movie has a lot to do with, like, emotional state.
Music.
Situation, where you're at in your life.
Everything, like, everything you brought into it.
Yeah.
It's at the, I mean, it's a complete spoiler, the part that made me cry.
Yeah.
I can just say it? Can I just say it out loud?
I don't think anyone will have Tag ruined for them in any capacity.
It's Ed Helms' character is dying of cancer.
Right.
And everyone finds out at the end, all of his group of friends. And it's the part where John Hamm, like, he's like, this is serious, I actually have cancer. And then John Hamm makes a joke to cut the tension.
Yeah.
And it just resonated so personal, like, of how I deal with things like that my friends and everything. Yeah. And I was like, you motherfucker. And I just started crying in the movie.
Yeah.
But the worst movie by far to ever make, achieve that feat.
I feel like that's a great achievement. That's a beautiful moment in a great movie.
It was.
Like,
no,
there's great work to get you there.
Mm-hmm. There's worse movies. But they're not worse movies that made you cry.
Yes, exactly.
I laugh sometimes at Tag, and then I don't remember. It seemed long.
It is.
I was
it
like, they're still
long.
Playing Tag.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, it was all right. But this the way I go and see movies now is different because of these Marvel movies.
Because they're like event movies.
I feel like it's me watching television because it's so long. I'm like 40 hours into this.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And so I feel very invested in it. I've seen all of them.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody's had a thing where, like, you were really into, like, playing Minesweeper, and then you're like, you know what, one day, I'm not going to do that anymore. And you just kind of, like, it's been far enough.
When Minesweeper ends.
No, but, like, if you have, like, a high score, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're just like, I don't do this anymore. Like, I remember having, like, a sick Madden franchise I started in, like, 2002 with, like, the Lions because they were really bad and I wanted to challenge.
Yeah.
And, like, I was playing that, like, every year. And then, like, one year, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to play video games
anymore. You know
what's
crazy is the Lions have been playing that for 16 years.
I'd be willing to bet my Madden franchise team is doing better than the real Lions.
They've had some swings.
Yeah, you know, they really have.
Calvin Johnson's whole career came and gone since started that franchise. I don't know. It's just kind of changed what is important. I am out here and I'm touting, like, I love when people make a movie on their own, and I really enjoy that something that stands alone is not part of a franchise. Like, for instance, I once saw Skyscraper, and I liked it a lot. And it's just a movie that exists, like a really good action movie that exists, that's a star-driven action movie. It feels like something from the 90s where it's like we're going to see it because the guy we like is in it doing the stuff.
That's great.
And I really liked it, and I thought it was cool and interesting, and the directing was kind of really fun and different for this. And then I'm like, but also I would go out of my way to see the Marvel movies instead.
That's interesting.
I'm, like, trapped.
They've got you.
Yeah.
And that's not the way you're supposed to feel about a movie. Like, you feel trapped. You should be just excited about being, like, inspired. And, like, yeah, like, yeah, but it's a different thing. It's like, I don't know.
I never gave up on Lost.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that about you.
So it really swung in the direction of seeing if you would keep playing Minesweeper, even when Minesweeper seemed like it was written one line at a time.
I've never seen Lost, but after the third Mission Impossible movie, I thought about, like, just watching everything that J.J. Abrams does, because I feel like that guy is just a genius.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Lost's high points are higher than, like, anything ever.
That's awesome.
But it's, you know,
it's Lost.
There's a lot of, every mountain has valleys.
You that told me that they didn't even know what they were going to do.
There's something in the story to Lost.
Most TV shows.
There's this book called The Revolution Was Televised about modern television. It attributes it basically to The Sopranos, right? For, like, this really high, slow-paced anti-hero type of, like, thing that really took over. But it also talks about its predecessors like Oz and things like that.
Oh, man. I don't know why, but for some reason I watched a lot of Oz as a kid. That one... That's half the reason that I cast Chris Maloney.
Well, you
got to
wait and see when the wizard's going to show up.
No, exactly. Yeah. Dude, there's a prisoner they call the wizard.
Yeah, it's just like that joke in The Office where Michael Scott has thought the show is called Queer as Fuck the entire time, and he says it, and someone's like, "I don't think that's what the show is called." He goes, "Oh, then what's it about?"
And
he talks about Lost as one of the shows that prompts what television is today, because they're talking about this television renaissance and this big best time to be involved in TV, blah 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 blah. And I think the book came out right as Mad Men and Breaking Bad were ending, so around that time.
Okay.
And it said about Lost, where Lost is on ABC, most of these shows are on FX, AMC, HBO.
Sure.
You have a little bit more freedom for a little bit less budget and a little bit less oversight. But Lost was the big, giant network television thing.
Right.
And it was – remember, it was huge.
Oh, yeah.
And Lost was pre-Twitter.
Yeah, that's true.
For at least until the end.
Yeah.
And so that's Lost crazy. Existed in Reddit and in these message boards, and it was a lot of talking about it outside, week to week, theories, because
right.
it's like a science fiction rooted mostly in an island.
Right.
And so almost like a role-playing game.
Well, that's the whole thing with J.J. Abrams with his big like mystery box thing.
Yeah.
That's like it draws right into that. And I think that's the beauty of, if you're not doing like a comedy or a drama, like that should be what pulls you in. Like you should be trying to keep people guessing. And
what
and,
they did with Lost was at some point they were on a 3-episode leash with ABC. This is just according to that book.
Right.
Where they said the show can end at any point. We'll give you 3 episodes notice. And so the writers, at this point, J.J. Abrams has left to do, I think, like Firefly or like one of these other, was it Buffy and that he also worked on? And like all
know,
whatever
actually.
Other thing that
yeah,
was probably
yeah.
great,
mm-hmm.
and so they wrote 2 seasons of this show that had built up lore, saying we have to be able to end the show in 3 episodes. So the show, the story was always 2.5 hours away from being done.
Wow!
For
That's
35 hours.
That's wild. That's super wild.
Yeah, it's like a Shel Silverstein poem. It's like always ready to wrap up, and then it didn't have to wrap up, so they kept having to
elongate.
introduce something they know they might have to end in an
right,
hour.
Right. Well, just to add another angle to that, I know another element that you have to juggle in that world is like, I know this actually in a couple different ways, but in regards to Lost, I remember I volunteered at Sundance like in 2006, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And up at the labs, one of the lab filmmakers there was this guy, Adewale, who plays... Is on Lost? I don't know his character because I didn't watch it. But I know that he... How does he die? He gets eaten by like a monster or something?
Sure. A smoke monster?
A smoke monster. I believe that is it.
Yeah.
Long story short, he...
It's lung cancer. Is that... No, it's not.
But so he got...
It's a vape monster.
He got into the Sundance Labs with a feature that he'd written. And because it started picking up steam, he told his agents like, look, I'm not coming back to Lost next season. Like, I want to make this movie. Like, we're getting some momentum.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, look, your contract is like, you have to give them 4 episodes to like write you off. And he's like, okay, I'll do my 4 episodes and I'll go. But, like, I think he was a pretty popular character at the time. And, like, that's the thing where if you're not even the creator of Lost, you're just, like, in the writing room. And then all of a sudden yeah. you get a call like, hey, listen, we got to write Adewale off in 4 episodes because he's going to go make a movie. Like,
that's,
well, that wasn't
that
what we were
a lot of
on
times
doing.
With the show.
Oh, all the time,
because everyone
yeah.
got six. And one of the things, and we're going to get into these games and stuff with my dad and everything here. But I'm fascinated with Lost as an idea because Lost was created not by J.J. Abrams. It was created by ABC television executives who were in a room like, what would people watch? They literally, there was no creative process to it.
Wild.
Other than what are people obsessed with? Survivor, mystery.
Hey, there we go.
And so then they wrote it as a money-making scheme television show for network television. And then they're like, who can bring something interesting to this? And they brought J.J. Abrams in.
That's pretty
so
cool.
So it was when everyone was like these exec – they wrote it from what I guess what you would say is like the least sincere
oh, yeah.
place.
No, I love that. Everybody's had those memes like, oh, you know what? I'm looking for like gravitas
and then it
and
became
catharsis.
The biggest show.
And you're it's, like, okay,
yeah.
what a great –
This was people like, let's write the most superficial way to make money. And then, oh, one location. Yeah, it's – once you get to Hawaii, then you're just shooting on location. It was
That's crazy.
Written strictly from a financial success standpoint.
That's fascinating.
And not from someone being like, ah, this is my life's work. Like Mad Men, which is like
story.
Matthew Weiner's life's work or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's wild.
That is wild.
All right, guys. We got some games. Some pun-based games.
All right.
And then we got my dad. And then we're getting out of here.
Hell I'm excited for your dad.
Yeah, we'll get so the first game is called Before and Afters, and what it is we combine two movie titles into one movie title, like the Wheel of Fortune category, Before and Afters,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll tell you the plot to that new movie, and you tell me the title. And so, for instance, The Wolf of Wally Street, that's a movie where a robot sells penny stocks, right? Example. Okay. So I'll tell you
that's
the
plot.
That's
a good idea for a movie.
I'll tell you a plot, and you tell me the name of that movie, which is two put together.
Okay.
Here's number one. The most powerful mutant awakes after thousands of years and begins a hallucinatory trip through Vietnam to find and terminate a once promising officer.
Apocalypse Infinity Wars? Or no?
Oh, yeah, I guess it's going to be hard for you. I haven't seen any superhero movies.
Yeah, but it's going to be Apocalypse Now and something. What is Doctor Strange? Apocalypse? I don't know. Apocalypse.
A lot of this hinges on knowing the names of X-Men movies.
Yeah, what rhymes with now? Oh, X-Men Apocalypse Now. There we go.
X-Men Apocalypse Now. Okay.
There we go.
Cloverfield was in my head. That's all I had for you.
Are you thinking of Cloverfield of Dreams?
X-Men.
Where
yeah.
a monster wants to play catch with his dad one last time?
Funny yeah. story. X-Men Apocalypse, an actress in that was cast as the lead in the last movie I was supposed to make. And because of that movie doing reshoots for a different actor schedule, that destroyed my whole last year. So kind of like that Lost thing.
If it's
pretty
any,
amazing.
If it's any, what's it called?
So I hate Apocalypse Now. Well, I hate X-Men Apocalypse.
If it's any consolation, X-Men Apocalypse is the worst movie I've ever watched all the way through.
Really?
Yeah.
I refuse to watch it out of anger. That makes me feel a lot better.
I think you would like to watch it because it's the worst movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, probably make it feel better.
It might.
It's bonkers how – and I've watched – it's bonkers how bad it is.
Really?
And X-Men are cool as hell. Anyways.
You should watch it just to see if it makes you cry.
Then we can nice. Touche.
Just seeing all the reshoots mm-hmm. she did.
I usually only cry in A League of Their Own or Dirty Dancing. That's usually my go-to cry seshes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Number two. In the not-too-distant dystopian future where oil is scarce, two heroes in the middle of a desert drift into what they think is a mall but ends up being a high-profile biological experiment where they become gladiators.
Mad Max Biodome?
That's so close.
Mad Max Beyond the Biodome?
Beyond Biodome, yeah.
Yeah, because it is Beyond the Thunderdome, isn't
yeah.
it? That's one of those ones where the cultural lexicon did not pick up the Beyond the Thunderdome, the Beyond part of
yeah.
the Thunderdome.
I also saw you get that.
That was
I saw your head turn.
I put some pieces together there.
All right, these last two are pretty dumb. After discovering there's a second site where dinosaurs are still alive and thriving, five women who make up a British pop group are called upon to observe the reptiles before financiers can get to them.
Jurassic Spice World.
That's so close.
Jurassic World?
It is. You're right. Living in the Lost Spice World.
Oh, okay. Because that is the second Jurassic
World. It's the nuance
of
the title.
That's good. That's really good.
I wonder if anyone listening guessed that. Also, but you guys knew what it was.
I mean,
we're living in the
Spice
world.
Spice World is a fairly interesting movie.
We're living in the
to
world.
Rewatch.
Last one. This one's so dumb. After a diamond heist goes poorly, an American grifter tries to track down the loot, eventually ending up at a hotel housing Tutsi refugees.
Tutsi?
Tutsi.
Tutsi like the Dustin Hoffman Tutsi?
No, it's Tutsi.
Damn it.
No, it's a Hotel Rwanda situation, but what is the diamond heist movie with hotel in it?
Ocean's Rwanda. I'm not good at this game.
Diamond Heist goes poor. Ocean's Rwanda is nice. After Diamond Heist goes poorly, American grifter tries to track down the loot.
I'm trying to think of Diamond Heist movies now. Is like nobody really steals diamonds anymore.
No,
nobody.
It seems like a pretty easy thing to fence. Also, I don't understand why. Like maybe it's just not worth as much money as like a rare painting or some shit. Or
is that a hint?
Not
rare
really.
Paintings?
No, I don't think so.
I was going Thomas Crown with that one. I was really, I feel like that's a more noble thief. The Diamond Heist went wrong.
Is it Tower Heist?
No. No, but it was fun seeing you get excited to have that one in your head.
Oh, boy.
All right. I'm going to say it.
Yeah, do it.
A Fish Called Hotel Rwanda.
Oh, well done. Wow. Wow.
All right.
I've never seen a fish called Wanda, so I didn't know how to describe it anymore.
There's better ways to describe it, but also that's a great movie. You should watch that.
Maybe I'll check it out.
It holds up.
I think the title threw me off because it seems like nothing like the. If it was called like Diamond Heist, I would have watched it.
No, that's fair.
It's always felt like a fake movie title to me.
Yeah. A Fish Called Wanda? Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Or Big Fish Called Wanda, which is where she reflects with her father's life. Okay.
That should be in a future game.
All right. This is our next game. It's called Cattle Call. What this is I'm going to give you – there's two ways this works. We have two separate cattle calls. Basically, the first one is these actors turn down the part – before the person who eventually got it accepted it. It's an iconic movie role. It was turned down by these people. I'll tell you the actors. You tell me the movie part.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So these actors were originally considered for this part, but for whatever reason, turned it down. Tell me what movie part it is. First person, Jeff Goldblum. John Cleese.
Ace Ventura.
No, pretty much Jeff Goldblum.
I would watch the John Cleese Ace Ventura. That would be pretty
good. Gene Hackman. Harold Ramis, Robert Klein.
What age role is this?
Just
that's
keep waiting because it gets bizarre. James Woods, Randy Quaid.
Wow.
Tom Conti.
Do I get any bonus points if I can guess the year that this movie was made?
Yeah, it'll help you get the movie. I think. It'd be young Jeff Goldblum.
1989.
Yeah.
I don't know what the movie is, but that range of actors,
yeah,
there's a very
insane.
Small window where all those people would be up for a lead role in a movie.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah. It is...
What's the movie? What's the role? What's the movie?
It is so iconic.
Is it... what's the fucking... Timothy Dalton, James Bond movie?
No, bigger movie. Giant blockbuster.
Bigger
big,
movie
huge,
than...
giant blockbuster movie.
Than a Bond movie?
I mean, you could say this is the biggest movie of the decade, maybe.
Of the 80s?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Fucking Close Encounters?
Bigger.
Wow.
Big giant Spielberg.
Not Indiana Jones?
No. Maybe this came out in 88.
The Alien from E.T.
No. Doc Brown.
Really?
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just to put this out there, like, yeah, he was a producer, but I would give Robert Zemeckis the credit on
Yeah,
that
you're
the
right.
Future.
I'm just going to
stick up for my Zemeckis
head. I was trying to throw some associates. Yeah, I knew that would give it away. I was trying
touché.
To throw some association.
No, it would.
All right, second way cattle call works is I tell you some roles, and you tell me which actor turned all of these down. I forgot to even write it down. Oh, no, now I have who it is. Yeah. Jake Sully in Avatar. Ennis Del Mar in Brokeback Mountain. One actor turned all these down. Harvey Dent in The Dark Knight. Dan White in Milk, and Matt Murdock in Daredevil. Who is Daredevil?
What is Daredevil?
It's a superhero that was played by Ben Affleck.
Matt Damon.
It is Matt Damon.
It is?
Wow. It's Matt Damon.
Whoa.
Wow, that was amazing.
I've been so bad at this.
You're here at the end.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
What a run.
Also, just to make a quick addendum to my previous comment about only crying in A League of Their Own and... Dirty Dancing. I've never been able to watch Brokeback Mountain without crying at the end. Like, that's just.
I'm so happy you didn't like name
time.
Any Matt Damon movie because I was like trying to think of a Matt Damon movie that would ever make someone cry.
Yeah.
And, like, I just can't watch Elysium without crying.
Dude, Good Will Hunting can get you a little bit.
Yeah, but that's nice. It's more like Robin Williams.
When he cries, you cry.
Yeah.
Cry with him.
All right, guys, we've come to the end here. We're going to play through Guess What Movie Cause Dad is Describing based on having had only seen the movie trailer, never having had heard of the movie. And we remember we left off with the title popping up. So here we go. You can let it play all the way through if you want.
Okay. Wow. This one just threw the title up right there at the beginning. So he's standing out there in the desert in his old-timey hat. It's always funny when they look through binoculars and the camera frames the shot like it is the binoculars. He's investigating... and shouldn't have jumped that fence. I guess he's a private eye, asking all of the right question. He's jumping another fence. There's romance brewing. Wait, he slapped her. Now his nose is cut. A lot of quick cuts of guys in the desert and around town in the same hat.
I know what this is.
You do?
Yeah, it's The English Patient.
It is not The English Patient.
Holes.
What?
Holes? No.
The Mummy?
No, older.
Are you sure it's not the English patient?
I think we've actually done the English patient before. I think my dad has done that. But no, it's not. His
Sahara?
Nose is cut. He's a private eye. They're all wearing fedoras.
Curse of Sierra Madre?
No.
Casablanca?
The most iconic line from the movie has the title of the movie in it.
Spartacus?
No. Jack Nicholson.
Chinatown?
Chinatown.
Oh, he does get his nose cut at the end.
Yeah.
He's never in a desert, though.
It probably just looks like the desert.
He does. He does climb a lot of fences, though.
I mean, it's a lot of, like, standing around where there's not water.
Yeah, that's true. That is
which
a
is
huge
the
thing.
Desert.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you for coming on and podcasting here with us. Thanks for doing the show. Let everyone know where to find you and if you got anything going on you want people to see.
Yeah, well, I got this new Avengers movie that I just wrote. You can check it out and follow me on Twitter. Is that it?
Yeah, that's people... online. Yeah.
Follow me on Twitter or Instagram or whatever the new thing is. I'll be at Colonel Sklar.
There you go.
And I got a movie on Netflix, or I think you can buy it on Netflix or buy it elsewhere, called Awful Nice.
There you go.
Oh, and you can watch it for free on Vudu, a new platform from the wonderful studio of Sony.
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
So if you got a Roku or an Apple TV, get that Vudu app. And all right, I'm done.
I'm the co-host of a podcast called The Local News that you can listen to wherever podcasts are available. I co-host that with comedian Tommy Jonigan. Comes out every Tuesday. And then you can find me on Instagram at Alex Stone and then the number 11. And
great.
Then that's it.
Thanks, guys. And as always, please give us rates and reviews and subscriptions and all of the podcast things you do to podcasts you like, and tell your friends about it. And if you want, we do fan scripts sometimes. So if you want to write a fan script and send it to us, send us a quick 3 or 4 page script of your favorite movie and TV show you've never seen, but you want to rewrite at neverseenitshow@gmail.com. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
It's a good show.